Meeting of December 13th, 2012. And we'd like to begin with an invocation. Albertine, if you could help us with that?
Yeah. Dear Lord, bless our nation in these trying times and grant us the wisdom and make the correct decisions on the cases that come before us. Amen.
Amen. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Ruth Laird?
Here.
Mr. Sparkman?
Here.
Ms. Brown?
Here.
Ms. Colley?
Here.
Ms. Wilson?
Here.
And Mr. Planico is excused, and our chair will be Mr. Sparkman.
Here. Okay, we have a quorum. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting? Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
A motion approved.
Okay, we have a motion from Kyle. Do we have a second? Second from Albertine. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. If you could go ahead and swear in the officers, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Please, the board, for the record, Dwayne Thomas, Charles Rich, Dan Baker, Raymond Furman, accept the deal.
Okay, housekeeping, if you have a cell phone, if you could please turn it off or silence it for the duration of the meeting. And Chip, if we have anybody present, if we could bring those cases first.
We will. Please, the board, we do have representation who showed up first. Case number is on page 3 of your agenda, CON 12-2204. And good evening, board members. My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm duly appointed code enforcement manager. I am certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels of training. I've been a code enforcement manager for more than 4 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this evening. This first case is a case brought by Officer Raymond Furring, the City of Ocala versus Celeste Redmond, a location at 1920 Northwest 12th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of sections 3495, 82181, 82182, and 82443. The parcel ID is 2220-005-003. All certified mail has been returned, and we legally posted the property on 10-13-2012 for the notice of violation and 11-9-2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in your packet, we've included the structural inspection, and we would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it contains junk and debris, does not display the required building numbers, and is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition, and additionally, Officer Furring requested a structural evaluation, which required Inspector David Thompson to complete an inspection, which resulted in a score of 45 points, and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida Building Code regulations. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the president remedy all the violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs at the end that accurately reflect the condition of the property as it stands now. Officer Furring is available to answer any questions that you may have. We do have representation here from the respondent, and the staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violation of code sections 3495, 82181, 82182, and 82443. Order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing all debris. 2, the respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to all current Florida Building Code regulations within 180 days. Or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. 3, ensure the house postal address numbers are applied to the residents in accordance with the code, and four, to pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 30 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day per violation, and the city to do work, utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. At this time, we'd answer any questions that you may have. Officer Furring is available. You do have the structural evaluation included in your information. He's trying to get the page number for you.
Does the board have any questions for the city?
Yes, Chip. In terms of the, just talking about a maximum of 20 points, for, it says roofing, framing, and shingles are in good condition and only got 15. So how many points away were they before it became deteriorated? They have a total of 45. If they had 50 points, would it be deteriorated then?
Not necessarily. The points are based upon condition and also the amount of deterioration and the what the building official would figure would be the relative value to bring the property up to current Florida building code. Mm-hmm. So it would depend on which infrastructures are required to be replaced in order to know where that 56% of the value of the property lies.
Uh-huh.
So he bases it upon that, and he also bases it upon whether the structure is causing slum and blight in the neighborhood. Because remember, there's two factions of dangerous structure. Part of it is the structure itself being unsecured. The other part is if it's causing slum and blight in the neighborhood.
So we can't use this as an objective data when you have this here because it's based on subjective data about slum and blight.
I think it's based on partially subjective data.
Right.
His opinion as a building official, but I also believe it's based upon how he scores this out. This is what we've done for years. It's consistent with what we've generally required of everyone.
I've noticed that sometimes in this area we get lower scores, maybe because the house are worse off than others, but I'm tending to see a pattern, and I just want to find out how this was done. That's why I was asking the question.
Well, I don't know what pattern you're specifically speaking of, but he says here that the house being dilapidated is the front porch is dilapidated, the wood post holding the roof system of the porch in place are precariously placed, and the house is in violation of the code. Would be required to be brought into compliance. Even in the photographs, you can see that some of the posts that are holding up the front porch are leaning. So, I mean, there's probably some things that they can do that would make this more in compliance. I don't know, because they would have to get a contractor to do the evaluation. But the fact that the front door is wide open, the stairs are deteriorating, the windows are open. The bottom portion of the house, if you look at the part that's the framing that's holding up the house, has some problems there as well. So I think that's where he arrives at his score. But a house can also be dilapidated just because it's open and secure in the neighborhood. I mean, it could be in
It could be a violation of the code, but not dilapidated.
Right. Exactly.
Any other questions for the city?
Is that electricity cut off, Chip, on the side there? Is that hanging loose on the side of the house by the roof?
Which picture are you referring to?
Eight. One of eight. See,
One of eight?
Yeah.
Okay. Just there.
It's on the side of the house, and it looks like
it's been cut.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Probably by utilities, it appears, because it's cut past the splice point.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was cut off, that was still connected.
There's no meter in the can. And I would have to ask Officer Furring, but it's my impression that there was no one living here at this time.
No one.
So, I mean, there are some remediation things that they could take that would probably go a long way here.
Okay. Do we have a respondent, Celestine Redman? If you could come up and be sworn in, please.
Right here. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Celestine E. Redman, 1984 West MLK Lane, Dunellen, Florida.
Okay, Ms. Redman, can you go ahead and explain your side of the story?
Well, I don't, everything that was said is true. Doesn't know, no one lives there. The house is vacant and it is damaged. I haven't lived in it for 4 years. But as far as the violation and everything, I didn't know anything about it. Not up to date on nothing like that, so. I just found out about this hearing yesterday when I went out there.
When you went to the house?
Yeah, when I went to the, well, I didn't even go to the house. I went next door to a neighbor. I don't go out there. I just go and check my mail. I never go to the house. But the house next door, I went to pick them a Christmas card. That's when I found out about this meeting. I see a post on the wall.
You did not get certified mail from us stating that?
I got certified mail, but I'm losing the paper, so.
But now that ain't our fault, is it?
No, I'm not saying
that.
Oh,
okay.
So I can never go pick it up because I don't know where it is.
What's your intentions to do with the house?
Mm-hmm. Nothing. The city told me they was going to auction the house ever since October the 15th.
Auction the house?
Yes.
Who told you that?
Well, I got a letter.
Do you have that letter with you?
Hmm?
Do you have that letter with you?
I don't.
Who's the letter from?
It was on the door. A neighbor told me about it and I went down there and checked it. I received the letter ever since like April, I think it was.
Is that for back taxes?
Yes.
Okay, so you hadn't paid your tax and it went.
Oh, that's county.
Oh, the county. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So I think it's at least boarded up because I can't live in it. It's not livable. I haven't lived in it in 4 years.
So you're just gonna let them auction it off because of back taxes. You don't care what they do. Okay, do. All right. Any other questions?
Sorry.
Any other questions? No? You wanted to make a motion?
I move to accept staff recommendation.
Okay.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Danielle and a second from Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Basically, you're guilty of the violations. If you can secure the property,
We would
appreciate that. What's going to happen is you're ordered to cut and clean the property and obtain the building permit to put the numbers up on the home. If these things aren't done and the city has to do it and there's a cost and there's going to be a fine assigned as a lien against the property, that kind of thing. So we need you to take care of the items.
I got to get a permit to board it up and everything?
Well, you don't need a permit to board it up. You just need to board it up so that people can't have access to the home.
Okay.
The broken windows, you know, the boards over the broken windows, the doorways, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know, put the numbers up on the house. Just call for a reinspection and see if it meets, you know, the code, and so that we don't start running fines and stuff like that on it. And then we'll go from there, I guess.
Okay. How long?
Right. Well,
but my husband can do it, but he worked, and
the time that says here says all within 30 days.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And there's also a case cost, which, Chip, do you know what that is? It's in here somewhere, isn't it?
$107.69.
Okay, so that has to be paid within 30 days, and the violations have to be remedied within 30 days. And you have to call for reinspection. That means you have to call code enforcement, and he has to go out there and look at it and say it's okay.
Okay.
All right? So if you have any questions, please get with the code enforcement officer.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thanks.
We have additional representation here saving on page 2 of your agenda at the bottom. CUM 12-1787. the City of Ocala and Officer Raymond Furring versus Kathleen M. Wyckoff and South Trust Bank of Alabama, N.A., the 2600 block of Northwest Old Blitchton Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 22153-001-00. Legal service was obtained on 9, 11, and 13 of 2012 for the notice of violation, and 11, 9, and 10, 2012 for the notice of hearing. We legally posted the property on 9, 8, 2012 for the notice of violation, and on 11, 9, 2012 for the notice of hearing. We've also included as part of your correspondence a SunBiz report and a Les Pendens. The summary of findings that Officer Furring located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Further investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Furring added the bank to the case. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. The staff recommendation be to find the respondent guilty of violating Code Section 3495 and order to 1. Cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day in the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. As part of your presentation, we've also included photographs of the condition of the property at the location. Officer Furring is prepared to answer any questions you may have, and that concludes our presentation.
Chip.
Any questions for the city?
Yes, ma'am.
Has this ever been cut?
I'm sorry?
Has this ever been cut? This
yeah,
looks like
it used to be part of a used car lot, I believe.
Yep.
Oh.
It's on the opposite side of the car lot.
Because it looks like we're not in the city. It looks like we're in the jungle.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, is it free land? Is it near a house?
Typically after a growing season, things will get out of hand. But
so it's in violation because it's close to this home here?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
There's structures on either side.
Okay. Do we have any other questions for the city? Is the respondent present? They could come forward, please. Either Kathleen M. Wyckoff or the South Trust Bank. I get to be sworn, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And if you could state your name and address.
Kathleen Wyckoff. I didn't get any notice.
I'm sorry, they need your address.
723 Northwest 30th Avenue, Ocala. And we don't go to this property either. And so we never saw this posting. And then I got this letter. But I did have my brother go back there and mow it, but it's back to a natural state. It hasn't been mowed in 10 years. It's natural property, I don't know. And it's at the end of a road that, quite frankly, the city made me build to nowhere. This was way back when, I don't know how many of you were here when it was Painted Horse Saloon was out there. Does anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Out of 27? Oh yeah, okay. It was part of an overflow parking area. But it doesn't have any improvements on it. I mean, it's kind of crazy to mow it. But I just don't understand why, if it's an unimproved piece of property, it needs to be mowed.
Well, I understand the code says that if it's within 300 feet of a dwelling, is that correct?
Any structure.
Any structure. Mm-hmm. So apparently it's within 300 feet of a structure. So that's where the violation's coming in.
So I have to get someone to go in and clear the land. I have to get a land clearing company to clear the land because of the edge. It's not on.
The code requires it to be cut within 12 inches, and that any trees over 4 inches DBH at breast height have to be left. Everything else needs to be trimmed back.
That's just the 300 feet, right?
No.
300 feet of the structure.
Not the entire
property.
Occupied
building.
It says occupied building.
Yeah.
Is it an occupied building?
Is it an occupied structure?
There's no structure on that property, no. There's no structures on there whatsoever. It's
but next to it.
Piece of land. Are you talking about the home that's near it? I don't think it's, I don't know how many feet it is to the edge of to their house.
It would have to be cleared 300 feet from that structure.
300 feet from the structure.
And the problem is primarily transients living in open lodging conditions and the junk and debris. That would have to be removed as well.
There's, can I ask when the dates of these pictures were taken?
They're right on the photographs.
Yeah, I'm saying, well, December 11th.
What date is it?
December 11th is the last picture.
Because there's no, if there's any debris there, it's because people are junking debris in there. I don't know how to stop that. Now, this road, the city of Ocala forced me to build a road to city spec. Cost $70,000 to nowhere. And this road creates a way for them to get back in there. So it's, quite frankly, it was insane at the time, and it continues to create problems. They made me cut the road out, and for all intents and purposes, it's a city road. It actually has a street sign. It goes back to Boothby's Auction. It dead ends into it. It's like a block. Goes nowhere, and it is creating all these problems. Can we just take up, can I put a fence in front of it to keep people from going back there? I mean, it's not even,
well,
it's not even a piece of property.
The road's really not the issue. The issue is the stuff that's grown up, that's
debris. We're not creating debris. If people are going back there and dumping because the city forced me to build a road that served no benefit to me at the time, I fought it like crazy, and now it's creating a problem because it creates a pathway back to nowhere, to where people are dumping things. And you know, quite frankly, the city caused the problem. And I know that's not, you know, you are not quote the city. But it is a problem that could we set this for review or hearing with someone to help resolve this? Because, you know, I don't know how to fix people going back and dumping somewhere
but
on a road that I can't stop them from going on.
You have to cut the property.
Huh?
That's the purpose you're here, that you have to cut the property 300 feet.
Yeah, we're not
here for anything else.
But the debris...
This is 3490. This is... 3495 is what we're citing, so what the city is citing.
Which is beads, accumulation of trash, so...
There's no trash there, unless there's any trash that's been there, that's been put there in the last month.
That's just part of the regulation. That's just part of the
code. Because there were tires, there was all kind of, I had that hauled away at my expense.
Mm-hmm.
We mowed along the roadway, but we didn't, because that's natural land.
Yeah.
You know, at the time it was mowed for parking, but they, you know, it was just mowed for parking then. They didn't force me to do it then, before that.
Well, right now the way the code reads is that it has to be cut within 12, you know, no more than 12 inches high, 300 feet from the structure that's being inhabited. So that's probably what's going to have to be done.
Okay, but it's just, and that property is paid for, so there's no foreclosure on it. That's an error. There was never a mortgage on it with South Trust, so I don't know where that came from, but that's just a clerical error, I presume. So.
Okay.
So, well, I'm unaware of that, and of course, I didn't get a letter, and this 9-something and all that, we didn't get any kind of mail on that. Now, I got this last thing to be here. We just so happened to see the sign, so that's when I sent someone in to do what I thought I was supposed to do, which was clear the debris, and, you know, but I didn't mow what I thought was natural land with no structures. I'd never heard of that before.
No, it has to be 300 feet from an occupied structure. So 300 feet from the home, I guess, is what they're saying.
And this is the first time I've ever heard of this in 15 years that I've owned a real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Does that seem? I don't know, that just seems crazy to me. I'm sorry, it just does, but you know.
No, we're not writing it, we're just.
I understand that, but I'm just like going, you're kidding. I mean, as hard as life is, now I have to clear land that doesn't even have a building on it.
So, anyway, but that's kind of where we're at. Does anybody on the board have a question for the respondent?
Well, I was wondering, is it possible to post a sign that says no dumping so that if you do find out who was doing that you could prosecute them?
I don't know that we can do that.
No, I need for her to post a sign. Would it be legal for her to post a sign that says no dumping?
know, that the people that do it, they know they're not supposed to go dump on private. I don't know
that a sign.
I'm actually a bail bondsman. That's not going to stop the people that are dumping. In fact, there's a sign. I've never had any of my clients say, "Well, I knew, you know, there was a sign, no shoplifting." But
yeah.
Anyway, you know, they just are going to. I mean, this is. I've had to call debris out of there for years, and I do. I go in there and I haul it out of there, and I'm going, "Why did they make me build this road? $70,000 road to nowhere. We call it the road to nowhere. It goes nowhere. It had no purpose whatsoever other than, quite frankly, Mr. Boothby wanted the road, and he had friends down at the city, but I didn't say that.
Right.
But, you know, it was like a crazy, insane, bizarre situation that has been a problematic for years.
All right.
I didn't know that I had to mow vacant property, but there is no debris unless it's been dumped there. This is like goes on all the time. So somebody may have been in there last night dumping stuff, but I hauled oil out of there, all kinds of stuff. And
okay.
I'd love to put a fence across this road.
Okay, but for the matter at hand, it has to be 300 feet from the occupied structure. It has to be cut.
And so what is the time frame now that I have to? Because
they're asking for it to be done within 14 days.
Like this. It's been growing for 15
years. Well, you don't mow, you don't take the trees down. You leave the trees that are more than 4 inches. Is that right, Chip?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So leave the trees, cut the grass and the weeds and get them out of there.
What is my, do I have a time frame on this?
They're at, the city is saying 14 days.
Do you think you need more time to do that?
I would love to have more time to do that. It's Christmas.
You think 30 days would be enough for you?
I think I can handle 30 days.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we accept the city recommendation with the stipulation that we change that to be done within 30 days.
I'll second that.
I have a motion, Latricia, second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous. So you have 30 days.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are.
Please call the city for reinspection.
Okay.
Yes.
Good job. Good job putting the 30 days there. Made her happy.
Yeah, that
made her happy.
Bring us page 2 of the agenda, CO12-1999. The City of Ocala, Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Thomas and Marion Gallant, a location of 1019 Northeast 19th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, 82181, and 82182. The parcel ID is 26192-003-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. This property scores 35 points in the structural evaluation. And we have a previous findings of fact, approved petition, and a satisfaction of mortgage included in your presentation. The license requirements would be a permit to repair or demolish. I need to give you a little bit of information on this. This property was previously found by this board to be guilty of the same sections. And we requested a petition to change the board order and give us the opportunity to come back before the board to get this ruled in violation of 181 and 182 for demolition. And the reason why we did this, if you look at the photographs, the property has gotten progressively worse. Originally our order was simply to secure it. Well, they didn't do that. We didn't get in there soon enough to secure it because we had to wait for them to take action, and now it's been completely gutted. So now, at this point, the property requires demolition. So that's what we're shooting for. We already had an order, but we'd like to change the staff recommendation at this time to the current staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. And I'm willing to answer any questions that you may have.
Does anyone live in that trip?
Just transients.
Oh, no.
Okay. Know that the respondent is not present. Does the board have any other questions for the city?
No.
What are the staff recommendations on?
At the bottom of the page.
Give me that back.
Right here?
Yeah.
For the record, the staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating city code sections 3495, 82181, and 82182. Order to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing all junk and debris. 2, the respondent is to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to all current Florida building code regulation within 180 days. or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. 3, pay the cost of prosecution as assessed with all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day per violation in the city of DeWitt, utilizing all means with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
Well, I wanted to ask him one more thing.
Okay. We have a motion on the table now.
He can't ask a question?
Nope. We've already got a motion made.
I'll second.
And a second by Albertine. All in favor?
No discussion.
We've already got a motion and a second.
You can have discussion.
You can have a discussion? Okay, now we can have a discussion. We have a motion and a second. Now we
okay.
have a discussion.
Now we're going to have a discussion. Okay. God, I got confused there.
I'm sorry. You got to speak up.
Thought you said
we
had done this before, right?
No. We had an order from the magistrate.
Okay.
The board. We had an order from the board to secure the property. But we had the same basic provisions
so
that we use
what,
on everybody.
Before. But
we give people time
mm-hmm.
to comply. If they don't comply, then we go in. In between the time that they had to comply, which they didn't do,
mm-hmm.
and before we could get a bid from a contractor to go in there, the property has been gutted. Wasn't a great property in the beginning. We all accept that.
So
but
basically,
we always give people time.
Basically, the staff recommendation is this: we go back through there so we can do the foreclosure. The city attorney can do the foreclosure and we can take the building down?
Well, that's an option. Typically, we don't take property unless we have a need for the property.
Well, it looks like this property has been a problem. So,
but we are going to take it down. I'll guarantee that.
Okay. That's why I thought you were going to, you know.
We're getting no cooperation or response from any respondent.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, due to the nuisance that it's creating in the neighborhood, we're kind of obligated to take action.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the top of page 3 of your agenda, CON 12-2182. This is a frequent flyer with the code board. Some of you may recognize these people. The city of Ocala and Officer Raymond Furring versus Iraq Enterprises, Inc., a location of 906 Northwest 9th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The city would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. Violation of Section 3495, 82181, and 82182, and 82443. The parcel ID is 2570-302-201. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We have done the structural evaluation, which scored 35 points. We do have previous findings of fact, affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where we brought it into compliance, a SunBiz report, and a previous case cost sheet on page 37. We would also require, in this case, a permit to repair or demolish the structure. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the condition of the property. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code in that it contains junk and debris and does not display the required building numbers and is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. Excuse me. Additional investigation revealed that the respondent has had many other cases, the last on 2011, which was brought before the MCEB. And found guilty for violation of code section 3495 by qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Additionally, Officer Furring requested a structural evaluation and Inspector David Thompson responded completing the inspection, which resulted in a score of 35 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida building code regulations. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful. And the violation remains. I would point out for the record that there is no representation by the respondent here this evening, and the staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating code
Chip,
section.
Let's not read it in the record. If the respondent's not here, we can read it.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I had to read it in the last time, so I was
Right.
Following through.
It's on our page, we can read it.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we accept staff recommendations.
Second.
I have a motion by Latricia, second by Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to the case at the bottom of page 3, C-112-2102. Officer Dwayne Thomas in the City of Ocala versus Gordon Jones Trust, 1516 Southwest 23rd Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495. The parcel ID is 23588-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. Additional correspondence is the notice of intent to abandon the property and a judgment. The summary of findings that Officer Thomas responded to this location due to citizens' complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the condition of the property. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions you may have, and the city has a staff recommendation as indicated at the bottom of page 2. I would point out for the record and board that there is no representation here for this case this evening.
Any questions for the city?
So it's vacant property with houses on two sides?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Move to accept staff recommendation.
I have a motion from Daniel.
I'll second.
A second from Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to the top of page 4 of your agenda, C-112-2232. Douglas, the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Douglas McClure, the 1600 block of West Silver Springs Boulevard, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. You may recognize this individual's name. He's been brought before this board many times. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. For violation of section 3495, the parcel ID is 2261-005-000. Legal service was obtained as indicated on page 2. Of your presentation as additional correspondence, we've given you a copy of the previous findings of fact, the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where the city previously brought the property into compliance, the summary of findings that Officer Thomas located this property upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the respondent has had many other cases, the last in 2012, which was brought before the special magistrate and found guilty for violation of section 3495. Qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful. The violation remains. We have included as part of the presentation pictures of the location. You can see that structures are within 300 feet right next door. We're prepared to answer any questions that you may have. And the city has a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. I would point out that there is no representation by the respondent.
Any other questions for the city?
I have a question. Why is it $500 a day, Chip?
I'm sorry?
He has, it says in your staff recommendations, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as asset and all within 14 days, failing which is a fine of $500 a day.
Because we're proceeding as a repeat violator,
okay.
That's the minimum fine for repeat violator.
All right.
Is 500 minimum or maximum?
Well,
I thought it was 250.
It could be a maximum.
I thought it was 250 was the minimum.
250 is what we can charge for a first violation.
Mm-hmm.
We usually charge 25.
Right.
On the repeat violation, we usually charge 500, no matter how many violations there are on the property. We
mm-hmm.
charge one.
I thought that was for a business 500 and individual was 250. For some reason, 250 pops into mind also.
As a repeat violator, we've brought them off since I've been here for $500.
I think we did change it. I think it was many years ago, but I think originally it was 250 for individuals and 500 for businesses, but I think they just kind of, because one ends up happening, they come back and ask for a reduction anyway.
They have additional due process available
to them. It's more of a get your stuff together.
Yeah.
A bigger hammer.
Like
thing.
A twist thing, you know.
So. All right. So, do we
make a motion to accept staff recommendation?
There we go. A motion from Donald, second from Daniel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to the next case on page 4, CON 12-2145. the City of Ocala versus James E. Pritchard, a location of 306 Southeast 29th Avenue, a violation of Section 3495. The parcel ID is 2782-023-010. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. As part of your presentation, we've included this with correspondence of a death certificate. The summary of findings that Officer Vo located this property upon arrival observed that the property is in violation of the city's code and it is overgrown. All attempts by Officer Vo to remedy the violations have been unsuccessful and the violations remain. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. We've also included photographs of the current condition of this property.
So
as
does
it
nobody
exists out there now.
Does nobody living in it then?
Well, we're just going for the cutting and cleaning of the property.
Did you say something about a death certificate?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Why I asked.
Of the owner?
Yes.
Oh.
I guess you didn't serve him, huh?
No, not yet. I hope not to have to soon.
So I guess you're trying to get somebody in their estate to take care of it?
That was the goal, but it hasn't worked.
Have you been able to get a hold of anybody?
No, sir.
All right.
I don't believe that I don't believe it's gone into probate yet, because normally we would include the guardian ad litem or what have you in the case when we have access to that information. But I feel what's probably going to happen here is what usually happens. The bank realizes that they aren't being paid.
They may aren't.
They attempt to contact the individual, and then they start their proceedings to take the property.
At the risk of sounding crass, let the record reflect that the respondent's not present.
Yes, please. And that he does not,
and will not
represent himself this evening.
We should have laughed.
That's crazy.
That's pretty good.
Looks like he died on vacation in Thailand.
Really?
Oh, wow. That's what the death certificate says.
Huh. It says what?
He died in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
He could have been in a tsunami.
Gee, I wonder what he was doing.
That's what I wondered.
Huh. There's a big Pritchard fan.
I make a motion to accept the staff recommendation.
Motion by Donald. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Danielle. All in favor? Aye.
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 Do you have any opposed? Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda. CUM 12-2226. The City of Ocala versus Nancy Applegate and City Mortgage, Inc. Violation of sections 3432, 3495, and 34143. The parcel ID is 2820-026-013. Legal service has been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. And as part of your presentation, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report and the current property registration. The summary of findings that Officer Vo responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint upon arrival observed the property's in violation of the city's code as stated above. Additional investigation revealed the property's in foreclosure, and Officer Vo added the bank to the case. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property, as was observed.
Until some more sadists in
yeah.
the carport.
They left the house, the car, and everything.
Staff
has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2. And this one's interesting. I mean, there is no representation here this evening, but the bank has registered the case and still isn't taking care of the property.
Now, in terms of the pool, Chip, I know we try to expedite that. Is it, you know?
Well, this one, the barrier is intact.
Is intact.
But I agree.
I don't know that we can really, do we ever really action it in 7 days?
It's virtually impossible.
Right.
I mean, it's
good.
Okay for us to make an order, but our experience is it's going to take us a couple of weeks minimally to get a crew to bid on the activity and to get it through processing to get action
right.
taken.
So far,
normally
days.
What we try to do
especially
is to go out there.
Well, the barrier's in place.
Normally what we try to do is to go out there and shut a gate with ziplocks and things of that nature to try, but there's some times when, you know, we had one where somebody stole a whole fence, and we can't help them with that. But I mean, if a gate's open or something like that, we'll try to zip tie it to maintain the barrier.
Looks like right there.
When they're open in a neighborhood like this, it's a difficult battle.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? Record reflect, the respondent's not present. Do we have a motion?
I'll motion to staff recommendations.
We have a motion from our team, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Kyle, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Pass unanimous.
That'll bring us to page 5 of your agenda this evening. And the first one is a petition for the estate of Marissa Young and Bank of America Corp. I think what's happening here is that the realtor is trying to close 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cases.
Oh, so this is the Lisa.
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
this is going to be an amended petition from them.
Okay.
Originally, they were requesting that the city waive everything, but at roughly $1,800, the board's attorney had suggested that they pay all the city's costs, which came up to about $3,878.57, if the city would assign the liens over to them so that they could collect the additional money. So I believe that Mr. Gilligan spoke with the respondent here and that this was acceptable to the city because this is what we originally asked for, but they wanted to pay only $1,800. So they wanted to give the city the right to proceed and collect the rest of the money from someone else, and Mr. Gilligan suggested that they take that action themselves. So we're going to assign, as I understand it, we're going to assign our liens over to them for collection. Pat, can you help me out there?
I have the vaguest of memory of doing that, but that sounds like a good idea.
So we'll actually
we'll get more money, and
right,
and we'll just do a prepare an assignment, and which we're allowed to do, and they can enforce it themselves.
And then they can enforce it. If you all remember, this is that little house, 207 Northeast 11th Avenue, that's right off of 2nd Street, the little red A-frame house.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of problem. These folks bought it on back tax deed and what have you, got the bank to release it to them. So our feelings were that if we could make the city whole by collecting all of the costs, they're actually doing us a favor by finally taking care of the building. They're going to make it productive again, et cetera, et cetera. So the city was in support of collecting all the costs. Well, they didn't want to pay all the costs. So now they've changed and amended their petition to where they'll pay all of the city's costs and that they'll collect the fines themselves.
So they're going to pay the $38.79?
We were in favor of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we're city's recommendation is that we approve this.
Yes, sir.
And how long are we going to give them to?
I would leave that to the board's discretion, but generally we do 10 days.
Is 10 days going to be enough with the holidays coming up and all that? What do you recommend?
They told me that they were fine with that there.
I think if somebody's ready to write a check, 10 days is long enough, even through the holidays.
Okay, so $38.78.57, if paid within 10 days, then what?
Because
isn't that reverts to what? Isn't that the original amount?
Reverts the original amount.
Which is what?
Oh God, 47,000. It's very high.
Oh, okay.
I think they can find their checkbook within 10 days.
Okay, so
even during the holidays.
38.78.57 if paid within 10 days.
It was 38.79.57.
Now, if you'll notice, that will take care of CUM 10, 1082. And at the bottom of that page, CUM 11, 1659.
Calendar days or business days?
It'll take care of the next page.
Calendar days.
CUM 11, 2938. CUM 12, 0079.
Business
days. CUM 12, 1299. So it'll take care of a bunch of the petitions that are on there.
Okay, do we have a motion?
I make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
A motion from Donald, do we have a second?
I'll second.
A second from Kyle, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passes unanimous.
That'll bring us to CUM 11, 1105. Now, in this case, they have petitioned for COM 11-1105, COM 11-2238. And if you go into that case number, you'll see that we've included a copy of their petition with the copies of the case cost sheets and the copies of the case photos for your review. So if you wanted to start on the petition, you can read through that, and then staff will
provide. Is this the one that's, the address is 823 Southeast 24th Street?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Those are 47,500 in fines?
Yes, sir. The city is going to agree to some reduction.
Yeah, okay. But I'm seeing on one case that the city's cost in admin is totals $1,275, and on another case the city cost is $350. So that's
right. So what we were going to do is to leave the one CON 10-1105 intact. Here was our suggestion. So, because this is the bank, we were going to leave the first one intact, and the second one, we were going to suggest a reduction to costs and $4,000.
So 1105, you're wanting the whole 1850.
Yes. Just in light of the fact that we've had absolutely no cooperation at all.
Okay. And then in the second one, you're wanting $350
plus $4,000. Cumulative portion of your fine was $4,000. And I would report to this board that the bank specifically was in violation and cited specifically for violation of the pool and of the property maintenance code. And still didn't take care of it.
So why are we letting them off then at only $4,350? But then the fine, $47,500, we're down to $4,000.
$4,350.
It's just a hundredfold decrease.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we're getting the added cost. We're getting the cost that the city's incurring, and we're getting a $4,000.
And normally we try to keep it under $5,000 when we cut somebody away.
Yeah. Well, are they like trying to, is it like looking at being sold, or are they just going to do this again next month?
Well, they haven't indicated that to us, and once we generally have an order of the board, we have relief sought by the board, we don't allow them to repetition the board. They can take their case now to the circuit court if they disagree with the board.
Yeah, so we can get, well, what the city's saying is that we can offer them $6,200 if they pay within 10 days, otherwise it reverts to $49.7.
Right, and in this particular situation, because we're dealing with a bank, I might suggest 15 days.
15.
Instead of 10.
Right.
Because they are
going to be working.
And it would be revenue for the city that they would most likely pay.
Yes, sir.
But do we do this for the average person?
Yeah.
Actually, we've done more than that for the average person.
I think the bank has the money to pay it.
That was just my suggestion. And I'm certainly open to whatever other suggestions there may be out there.
I make a motion that we accept city recommendation, but we give them 15 calendar days to pay, and it reverts back to the whole amount if it's not paid within 15 days.
Okay, so we have a motion from McDonald. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
I have a second by Kyle. All in favor? Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Two. Albertine, what was your?
I guess I'll move.
Opposed?
Okay, so you're
no.
So you're a four.
Yeah.
You're approving the motion. Yeah. Okay. Good. One, two. So we've got four. So it passes 4-2. Passes 4-2.
Well, I mean, he gave us a list of 10 things why I should.
And actually, they asked for 30 days.
I'm just going to let them off.
We give them 15 working days.
We gave them 15 calendar days.
Calendar days, yeah.
I guess we should note that for the record, it's 15 calendar days.
Because it's a bank, you know, because it's a bank.
They don't have any money in the bank. It's not readily available to check them.
It's this.
My mom's going to be busy, it's Christmas, I can't be writing everybody checks.
Yeah.
I think they could find their checkbook.
So that's care of all three of these?
That's what you do.
I don't know, Wells Fargo stopped payment on the check for us today. They're still trying to figure that one out.
They did what?
They sent us a check to pay off and then stopped payment on it.
See, that's what you're getting here.
Different bank.
Those banks.
Actually, you know, if we were going to, well, if I was going to opine, Bank of America is actually very cooperative with the city in most situations. They are very diligent in registering their properties with the city, mm-hmm. as opposed to Wells Fargo Bank, which is nothing but a headache. So
you might go get triple damages and attorney's fees for that little stunt.
Yeah. I may be talking with you about that. I don't know what we're going to do yet. I'm hoping it was just a clerical error.
Okay, I'm calling.
That'll bring us to CON 12. 1832, the city opposes this petition.
This poor old lady.
I was not notified of any violation regarding this rental property until November 20th, at which time I phoned code department to discuss this issue. Afterward, I phoned the tenant to discuss this violation and provide the 24-hour notice that I would be on the property. The tenants abandoned the property. I removed all debris on November 22nd and mowed the yard on November 23rd. Did we ever really get a hold of the owner on this?
She says that we did. This is just a petition of a board order. So the only fine that's imposed here is the cost of prosecution.
Yeah, I would say
it's
no.
It's not even a fine, it's just...
I'm sorry, you're saying we got a charge of the cost?
We did bring it before the board, and we had a board order. If they had not taken care of it, we would have had to go take care of it. I would suggest that the city expended their time and expense at prosecuting the case, and therefore in...
Did she actually get notice? I guess that's the question for me.
Well...
Did the owner actually get notified in time to do this?
Well, we heard the case and we found them guilty. So right. The evidence at the time would have had to support that they were notified.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But she's saying she wasn't with new evidence.
Well, what's the evidence that she wasn't?
She said it.
Yeah.
Well, we had a whole case about it that said that she was. I don't know whether she was there.
Not only did we have a case, we also had a non-compliance. I mean, we had quite a bit of stuff here, but I'm just looking up to satisfy your.
So it's just the case cost. Oh. The $122.69 is all, right?
I'm sorry?
$122.69 case yes. cost.
Could be a lot of money for her.
A lot of money for everybody. What are you talking about? A lot of money for me.
I'm never going to hear the end of that bank thing. All right.
So, I mean, not only did we have an order that you did, we also had a non-compliance. We worked from August through November to try to get it taken care of, which
okay.
was, you know, 90 days. So.
I assume she was taking the rent checks, so.
That would be my assumption. Normally, if I was a property owner, I would make sure my property was being properly cared for.
All right, well, if there's not going to be any motion, then we'll just make it denied. I'll mark it denied.
So the fines now, the fines stand.
Yeah, it's just the case cost.
Yeah,
that's all.
Which chapter 162.07 says that if the city prevails in their case, they shall collect costs of prosecution. So, you know, we try not to let anybody exceed that.
All right. Consider it done.
That'll bring us to old business, and we would respectfully request a consent agenda for hearing for non-compliance. I would indicate that on page 7 of your agenda, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cases listed there. I can attest that in those six cases, an affidavit of noncompliance is on file. The city would respectfully request a motion to proceed with the previous board order in each of those cases.
Is there a motion?
Yes, I'll motion.
Motion from Albertine, we have a second?
I'll second.
Donald, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
Pass some housekeeping. I would point out that Officer Vo had his last day yesterday. The city does not intend to replace him, so we are down again in our food enforcement staff. We're trying to do the best we can.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. And with having said that, I would wish you all a very happy, joyous Christmas and New Year's, and we'll see you next year. And the city would respectfully request a motion to accept all of the testimony, presentations, and documentation into the record.
Have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Latricia, second by Kyle, all in favor?
Aye.
Pass unanimous. All right, any other comments? Anybody like to address the board?
Just had a question on the, at one point we were prosecuting, bringing a lot of cases forth about car lots being parked on the grass as opposed to being on cement. Is that something, was that modified?
In fact, we had one last month. We had two of them. One of them, we're in the process of bringing compliance. He had 6 weeks.
No,
the one at 27th Avenue next to Turner Transmission.
One of them actually came forward to the city with a site plan for approval, and the magistrate gave them a 90-day period with an option to come back if the site plan got boggled up. But they're going to allow him to continue to operate while he's going through that process. And the other one came into compliance right before the magistrate.
But the short answer is yes, we still are bringing cases for that because we have to. The water management districts won't allow cars to park on grass anymore. And you're not allowed to put down rocks. So you have to pave it. And they want it paved. And so our code has been amended to reflect that requirement. We have a couple places that have had to comply with that where they've had to go back in and pave. And to be honest with you, I was quite surprised to see Ms. Wyckoff tonight. So we have about $250,000 lien on her property where she would not pave the property as requested to do. And so, still a lot of problem with that. We get in trouble from St. John's because, you drive by and see a car parked on the grass.
I saw a bunch of them moving on the grass, and I was like, I thought we did this already.
There are several, though, just so to enlighten you, there are several lawful non-conforming uses out there where cars are parked on the grass. Those are the guys that have been in business since 1968, 1970.
Continually
and never stopped. I like to use Tom's Cars on North 441. He's been there since 1969 on that grass field. Mm-hmm. He will be allowed to stay there as long as he continues to operate under those same conditions until that use changes. They call it a lawful non-conforming use. We just don't allow it for new people coming in.
Does First Baptist have to pave their half grass, half?
They're under site plan review right now. They're getting ready to do a whole bunch of stuff